even spoke it. What was in your heart? Ephesians chapter 1 tells us what it was, man. It says, bless the Lord. All. In fact, I need to turn in and read that to you, you know, Ephesians chapter 1. Because you know, listen, this is something before Genesis chapter 1. Watch what Ephesians, man, chapter 1 says. Let me get there. Ephesians, I'm getting there. Just bear with me just a second. This was before Genesis chapter 1. I'm talking about what was in the heart of God and what was in the mind of God, even before he spoke. Watch this. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the saints, that's you and I, and the faith in Christ Jesus, that's you and I. Watch what his introduction is. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what verse 3 says in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? With every spiritual blessing, where? In heavenly places. How? In Christ Jesus. Watch this, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundations of the world. Well, boy, this was within his mind and his desire, his intent. Even before he spoke in Genesis chapter 1, man, this was within his heart and it was in his mind. This was his precept, his original idea. Everything begins with an idea. Listen, boy, this radio broadcast that you listen to, that was first an idea. The clothes that you got on your back, that was first an idea. The car that you drive, the house that you live in, everything, it's begun with an idea. Everything begins with an idea, original thought, original intent. And watch what God's original thought and original idea was. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before it was an it or there, or when or where, before that was anything. He chose us, man, and this what look what he chose. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Glory to God. Well, say that again, brother. Holy. You know what holy means? Pure integrity. Let me say it in a simple way. Holy means just like God. Remember that scripture in the Bible that say, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy? All you're saying there was be like your Father. Because that's how he created you to be, just like him. What he did, he chose that before the foundation of the world. What he chose? That we should be holy. And watch this. And without blame. Glory to God. Covered in his love. That's what he chose before the foundation of the world. That was his original desire and intent. And then in Genesis chapter 1, then he started articulating it. Then he started speaking it. And boy, when he spoke it, then it began to be manifested. Hallelujah. See, an idea, a word is a spoken thought, is a spoken idea. At first it was an idea. And then when he articulated or spoke it, then his power, his anointing, his ability, who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Who is the articulated word? That's Jesus. Where the original thought comes from? It comes from our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And then he spoke it, boy, we know him as Jesus. And boy, the Holy Ghost took what he spoke, man, and manifested it in the earth. Hey, listen, we got all these controversies and all these things about, man, Jesus and what his name is. Some say, well, you know his name, Jesus. Some say his name is Yahweh. Some say his name is Yeshua. All these different titles and everything else that he gives. Those are titles and everything else. But, man, listen, you got controversy behind this. Some people don't even want to use the name of Jesus. They say Yahweh or Yeshua or a different name like that, you know, thinking that they're getting it from the original Hebrew and everything else. But, man, you got to understand, man, what's really going on. That's why I say, boy, if you don't understand, man, the precepts of God, then you'll misinterpret the Bible. Listen, man, his name, man, Jesus and Yeshua and all the titles that he called upon the man, listen, those are means to an end. Don't get preoccupied, man, with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. What's his name? The Bible tells us, man, in Revelation chapter 14, it says, and his name shall be called the Word of God. Man, I'm about to get excited. Hallelujah. What's the name? Jesus, Yeshua, Yahshua, all them names. No, his name is the Word of God. That's his name. Before all these other names came into existence, man, before he was a Jesus, before he was a man, boy, he was man forever his delight. He was always with God, man. In fact, it was man through him that God, man, started creating everything, man. God said, and God said, and God said. And who is that said that God was talking about? That's Jesus. That's the Word of God. That's his name, the Word of God. So don't get preoccupied. Don't get preoccupied, man, with all the means and the titles and everything else and those names. It don't matter whether you call him Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua, all them names like that, boy. But if you don't understand, man, who he really is, what? He's the Word of the Most High God. Heaven and earth and all them other names, they're going to pass away. But the Word of the Lord, that's going by forever. Glory to God. Who is he? He's the Word of God. Hallelujah. And, boy, I'm talking about, boy, the Father God, the source of the Word, he began to articulate his idea, his precepts. And when he began, when he spoke it, the Holy Ghost, boy, began to move and to cause everything to come into being. You remember what it said in Ephesians? I mean, not Ephesians. In Genesis chapter 1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then the earth became void and without shape, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Listen, between those two verses right there, man, it could be, ain't no telling, thousands, millions of years, like some people say. Because, boy, God, everything God does, he do it perfectly in honor. God is a God of honor. So when he created the heaven and the earth, boy, it was perfect. Then something happened between dead and Genesis chapter 2, when it said the earth became void and without shape. I don't have the time to go into detail, but the devil was kicked out of heaven, and he landed on the earth. And we landed on the earth, how many of you know wherever the devil land at is chaos and everything else, and everything is out of order. And boy, that's what happened to the perfect earth that God had created for his family and son. And boy, in Genesis chapter 1, God started a reconstruction progress. And starting in Genesis, in verse 3, it says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was void and without shape, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Listen, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. So something happened between verse 1 and 2. That's when Satan got kicked out of heaven and fell to the earth. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning coming out of him. And boy, he landed on this atmosphere, on the earth. Wow. Armed to the teeth. Wow. Waiting on man, what God's children. Because let me tell you something. Satan, man, was the worship and praise leader of heaven. And boy, let me tell you something. If you want to know the secret of God and what God is really doing and everything else, you begin to praise him. You begin to worship him. And boy, he'll open up all his secrets and everything to you because he inhabits the praise and worship of his people. That means he dwells in that. Glory to God. And him dwelling in that, and boy, I'm talking about he will manifest in our hearts and minds and souls and spirit, boy, the will of God. He'll manifest that word on the inside of us. He'll manifest what he's doing on the inside of us. How? By the Holy Spirit. For the Bible says, so the earth was void and without shape, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved out on the face of the deep, and God said, good God Almighty. Then he started talking. But before he started talking, look what happened. The Spirit of the Lord moved out on the face of the deep. What are you out there doing? He's waiting. He's the master contractor. He's the one who takes the word of God, man, and bring it to manifestation. Hallelujah. So, boy, he's hoovering over the whole world, man, over the whole universe, man, hoovering, man. What he waiting on? He waiting on the word. And the Bible saying, God said, let there be light. Good God Almighty. And, boy, let me tell you something. I don't know what happened to the darkness, man, but let me tell you something. The light began to shine out of darkness. And the Bible saying the darkness couldn't put it out. It couldn't seize it. It couldn't overtake it. It couldn't do nothing with it. That's in your Bible in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, glory to God. And the life, the eternal life, the everlasting life, the God kind of life that's in the Word, that's in the Word, in him was life. And the life that's in the Word was the light, L-I-G-H-T, of men, hallelujah. What? To bring men out of darkness, out of ignorance, out of not knowing, out of a lack of knowledge, into the glorious revelation of who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, are doing in the earth. So what pray the Father, but if we could stop trying to get them in on what we're doing and we get in on what they're doing. See, that's what religion does. Religion, man, try to get God in on what we want to do in and for him. But, boy, what the kingdom is, boy, what God want to do in and for us, so that when you come to God in your prayer, you don't bring your list to him. In fact, boy, he canceled our list. Our list consists of, man, water, food, clothes, housing, protection, security, significance, all the things that we pray for, you know, concerning that. But, man, Jesus said something, man, in Matthew chapter 6. He said, listen, man, you ain't got to take no thought for that. That way, he canceled our prayer list right there, and he gave us his prayer list. What's his prayer list, man? The first thing. He said, you ain't got to take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to live. Consider the lilies of the field and the birds and all that. You know the story in there. He said, listen, man, God feed them. God clothes the lilies of the field. And he cares much more about you than he do the birds and the flowers that's here today and gone tomorrow. He said, your heavenly Father, your source and sustainer. He's the source of all that you need and everything else and the sustainer of it, man. He said, listen, he know that you have need of all that. So instead of, man, coming to him in your prayer list, in your prayer life with that list, hey, man, ball that up, man, and throw it in the trash can and come to God, boy, with an empty paper, man, an empty sheet, and give me his list. Come to God, man, and ask God, what can we do for him? See, that's why a lot of our prayers ain't getting answered, because we go to God and tell God what we want him to do for us based upon our little finite, man, thinking and desire and everything else. We go to God and ask God to heal us, man. Man, listen, that's a means to an end. And when we get sick, that's what we ask God for. Lord, heal so-and-so. Or do a stretch force to a mask on hand and do this and do that and do this here. Or, Lord, man, help me, man. I got need in it. Listen, man, that's not God's perfect will. That's his permissive will. Healing is God's permissive will. His perfect will is, man, we live and walk and operate in divine health. Like I say, we go to God, man, and ask him, man, to heal us, man, when we ought to be going to God and saying, Lord, I want to walk in divine health where sickness and disease don't even come near me. And in his plan and his purpose and his desire and his intent for our heart, ain't no sickness in heaven. Ain't no poverty in heaven. Ain't no lack in heaven. Ain't no racism in heaven. Ain't no hatred in heaven. Ain't no gossiping in heaven. Ain't no bigotry in all this mess that's going on up on this earth here today. Ain't none of that going on in hell. And God say, pray this way. What? Instead of you coming to God with our list, let's go to God, man, and ask him for his list. What? Lord, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. On earth, how? Just like it is in heaven. What you're doing is you ain't bringing your list to God. You're going to God to get his list. What you want me to do for you? How can I help you accomplish that? Because that's your desire. That's your intent. That's your will. That's your purpose. That's your reason. That's why I say, so seek first, not, man, what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and how you're going to live and food, water, clothing, and shelter and protection and security and significance in life. You say, listen, your Father know all about that, but seek first for the kingdom of God, what God is doing. And all them things, they're going to be added unto you, man, so you don't even have to take no thought for the day or tomorrow. For in the day, man, it's sufficient everything that you need. Or just like God take care of everything in today, he's going to take care of everything in tomorrow, too, and the day after that, too. So you really don't have to worry about that. You really don't have to seek after that. If we get our priorities in line and seek first, man, what God is doing and get in on that, then all them things are going to be added to us on a daily basis. Hallelujah. So you take all the stress out of life. Well, that's why I say, man, by you worrying about that and everything else about that, man, how can that add one cubit to your life? How can that add more years or more days unto your life? Man, that don't do nothing but stress you out. And that takes life, rob life from you. So everything that man can do, man, those 7 or 8 things right there, boy, to get water, food, clothes, shelter, protection, security, significance. Be somebody. And God said, man, you are somebody already because I created you just like me. You are masterpiece because you are a piece of the master. You his crown than possessions. You is prized possession. Hallelujah. What is man, the Bible say, that you are mindful of him, that you made him a little lower than the angel, but you crowned him with glory and honor? Hallelujah. That's in your Bible, man, in Psalm chapter 8. What is man that you love him so much, that you crown him, you bestowed upon him a crown of glory and honor, that you made him a little lower than yourself, next to you? Good God Almighty. That's why I say, boy, the devil's most successful attacking against us, boy, is to preoccupy us, man, with all the means that we operate in through religion. I listen, don't misunderstand. I didn't say religion is evil. I just say religion is the greatest opposition to what God is doing, in our dispensation, in our day and time, in the time in which God is dealing with mankind in this era of life, in this season of life, in this period of human history that you and I live in. He's dealing with us, boy, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. The extension of his grace, the fullness of his grace. That's how he's dealing with us in our day and time. The Bible say, boy, in Second Corinthians chapter 13, I think it's around verse 11 through 14, 15, he say, boy, this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit that we are operating in today, that God is dealing with mankind with and in and through the day. What? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, boy, and communion of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So like I was saying earlier, man, God established that up on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, his desire, his intent. And that's where you find that at. If you want to know what God's desire and intent is, it's in those first two chapters. That's the only perfect chapters in the Bible. And there's no devil, no sin, no racism, no black or white man, no ethnic groups, none of that, man. Yet, boy, I'm talking about God, and God was well pleased in that. And what he was doing and had going on in Genesis 1 and 2. What he had going on in Genesis 1 and 2, he extended his governing influence of heaven to earth on a spot on the earth with an open door into the presence of the Most High God. Eden. And the Bible saying God planted that. God established it on the earth. And not only did he plant that and establish it on the earth, the Bible said it did. And there he placed the man. In that place. And from that place, he gave the man his assignment and mandate. What? Be fruitful. What that meant? Productive. Multiply. That means, man, multiply your production. Don't just plant, man, an apple seed and get an apple. Plant an apple seed and get an apple tree. And take the apple seed and plant more apple trees. And more apple trees. And more apple trees. Till you got an innumerable amount of apple trees. That's multiply your productivity. Then replenish it. That means distribute it. And then subdue it. That means control the market, the master, to have governing influence over. What, boy? I'm talking about, man, be fruitful. How you be fruitful, like what we were saying earlier? You got to take the seed of God's word, of God's original intent and plan and purpose and desire for our life. And you're getting to plant that in our heart. We first got to find out what he's doing. And then after we find out what he's doing, then we got to operate the way he operates. How did he accomplish everything, boy, that he wanted? Boy, he spoke it. How you and I going to accomplish everything that God, man, desire, will, and desire for us? You got to speak it, too. And you got to speak what he spoke. I'm not just talking about what he spoke through Isaiah and Jeremiah and the prophets. I'm talking about what he spoke himself, man, through his son, Jesus Christ, the one that was with him before the foundation of the world. The one that was, man, I'm talking about the Bible saying in Proverbs, man, chapter 8, he said, boy, I was ever his delight. Before he founded the world and the earth and the mountains and everything else, I was there. Hallelujah. He possessed me from the beginning of time. In fact, I was his first possession, man. Hallelujah, boy. Because when he spoke, I'm gone. Somebody say, what do you say? I say, boy, I'm talking about that's the most powerful force in the universe. That's the word of God. I'm talking about, boy, I'm under the governing influence of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. So what do you got to do? You got to get that in your heart and in your mind and in your emotion and in your attitude, and then you got to speak it. You got to speak it. You got to call it. Sometimes in speaking God's word, you be calling things that be not as though they were. Listen, there was nothing but darkness up on the face of the deep, man. And God could have came out there and said, it sure is dark out here. And listen, because that's what it was. But that's not what he wanted. So he spoke what he wanted. What do you say? Let there be light. Hallelujah. Lord. I don't know what happened to the darkness, but baby, I'm talking about light being ever since. That's the power that's in the word of God, the spoken word of God, the living word of God. See, the spoken word of God, that's the logos. That's the spoken idea. That's the spoken thought. But then there's another stage of that. That's the rhema word. Not only when it's spoken, but when it's acted upon, when it's planted in our life and watered and cultivated. That's why I say, man, you not only got to speak it, man, but you got to continue speaking it. You not only got to, man, come to the knowledge of it, man, but, man, you got to apply that knowledge. And then after you apply that knowledge, then the most crucial state is the continuity of that. That's the practice there. I mean, you can't speak it, man, one day and then turn. You can't say, man, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And then the next day say, oh, man, I'm so sick, I don't know what to do. No, you got to, man, practice that. You got to say that. And you got to say that. And you got to say that. How long, Brother Arthur? Until it comes to pass? No, you say that forever. That become a way of life. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke with new tongues. I'm not talking about shakalaka-laka-laka-laka. I ain't talking about that. That's in there, but that ain't what they're talking about there. I mean, they talked a different way. They didn't say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. They say, man, my God supply all my needs. Hallelujah. They didn't say, man, I'm so sick, I don't know what to do. They started saying, man, I walk in divine health. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, therefore I walk in divine health. And that's the only thing come out of their mouth. That's the only thing they spoke. And guess what? When it comes to that place where that's the only thing that come out of our mouth, that's the only thing that we speak, and that's the only thing that we act upon, and we apply that, and then we go to that crucial stage where not just the application of it, but the practice of it. That means you put it into practical policy. You speak it all the day, all the rest of your life. That's how you talk. You speak with a new tongue. You start speaking, man, what God say about your circumstance, situation, and sin. You start speaking, man, a life that's in the word of God over your circumstance, situation, and sin. And listen to here. Be not deceived, God not more. Whatsoever man say, that's what he going to have. Know why, man, a lot of people ain't feeling too good? Because that's what they say. A little something come on there, they kind of rob them of their feeling, their health, and everything else, and they start lining their words up with that. And the Bible says, boy, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the sick say I'm healed. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the cursed say I'm blessed. Let the lost say I'm saved. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, glory to God. I tell you, boy, we got to learn how to function in the kingdom of God and the laws that governs the kingdom of God and how to operate in the kingdom of God. But if you don't know nothing about the kingdom of God and the laws that govern it, and all you're stuck in is religion and everything else and all the Old Testament stuff, then, man, you'll be preoccupied with death. And you'll be trying your best to make it in when the way has already been made. The redemptive work of God is already done. And what God is doing now, he's not trying to redeem our life from destruction. He's already done that. He's not trying to save us. He's already done that. He's not trying to heal us. He's already done that. He's not trying to deliver us. He's already done that. He's not trying to provide for us. He's already done that. But what he's doing, Arthur, he's trying to restore us back, man, to what his original plan and purpose was. Because in that place that he put Adam and Eve in, they didn't have to take no thought for what they were going to eat, what they were going to drink, what they were going to wear, how they were going to make it, and everything else. Boy, it was already provided for them. And they were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. No condemnation. No sin consciousness. No guilt. No shame. No broken fellowship. in the presence of the Lord 24/7. Can you imagine that? Walking and talking with God. I ain't talking about man like the song we sang in the presence of the Lord. I'm talking about the literal presence of the Lord, living in that. Well, that's what Jesus Christ come, man, to bring back to the earth, that. He didn't come to die on the cross so that you can go to heaven. He come to die up on the cross of the world so that, boy, you can begin to live on earth as it is in heaven. He come to bring, let me say it in a plain, simple way. He come to bring, boy, heaven back to us. Because God established that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where heaven on earth. And there he placed the man in that place, what? Heaven on earth. And from that place told us to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. Simpler saying, boy, make it on earth like it is in heaven. And I'm going to give you everything that you have need of to accomplish that. I'm going to give you all of me. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. That same spirit that who was above the face of the deep. And when I spoke, he brought what I spoke into existence, into reality. I'm going to give you that same ability. I'm going to give you that same power. I'm going to give you that same Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that was upon Jesus, that Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. What's the good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. I'm not talking about in monetary stuff and in money and gold and silver. I'm talking about poor in spirit. Don't know who you really are. Don't know where you really come from. Don't know why we really here. Don't know what we really can do. And don't know where we really going to end up in. Say that again. Don't know who we really are. Not knowing where we really come from. Not knowing, man, why we really here. Not knowing what we really can do. And not knowing where we really going to end up in. And God say, because of that lack of knowledge of that, they say, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Not knowing. But boy, I'm talking about the light. What that is, that's darkness. But boy, what do you say? Let there be light. Let there be information and illumination. That's information. Then interpretation of that information. That brings understanding. Then application of that information. And then the crucial stage is the practicing of that information. See, a lot of times we get the knowledge of it, and then we get, and we even get some understanding. And then we apply. But then you might, man, apply it, man, one day, man, and then when you don't see no instant results, stop applying. No, you got to apply it, and then you got to practice it. And then you got to become, man, a way of life. We got to operate in the laws of the kingdom. The law, that's the law in the kingdom called a law of sowing and reaping. You got to speak God's word into your life over your circumstance, situation, and symptoms to change it. That's how God changed the darkness into light. He spoke it. And he's been speaking it ever since. That's why Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Who? The word of God. That's the light of the world. So what we have knowledge of, and I close with this. Hey, listen, we know the redemptive work of God, but we need to know the restoration work of God. And we know, boy, all about how Jesus, where he comes from. He comes from the Father. What he did, he opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, raised the dead. Story about how he raised Lazarus. We know all about that, how he rose from the dead and went on up to heaven. But what we don't know is what he said. While he was on his earth, man, for them 3.5 years. What he spoke, what he preached. We got our own messages, man, and everything else. And our message is from the word of God. But, man, that ain't, that's the means to the end. To get us back, man, to what God originally said about you and I. That's why, boy, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, a boy from heaven came, boy, and said this. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In Hebrew, you say, you heard in time past. God spoke to us through the prophets and all them other guys. We're in time past. But in this day and time that you're living in right now, he's speaking to us himself, his original word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What Moses then spoke and all the prophets spoke was his permissive will. What Jesus Christ comes speaking, man, was his perfect will. Oh, Lord, my time is up. Listen, I love y'all with the love of the Lord. I look forward to ministering to y'all again next week. You stay tuned to this radio broadcast. I promise you this. You're going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life. And boy, it's going to give us our inheritance among those who are sanctified. What's our inheritance? All of the kingdom of God that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Listen, we could be of any assistance to you during the week or can help you grow in the knowledge of God's will for your life. You can contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship World Outreach Ministry, Bucky, Louisiana. Our phone number is area code 713-870-3776. That's area code 713-870-3776. Listen, my wife, Yetta, and I, and my family, we love you with the love of the Lord and believe it for God's best for all our lives.